You're listening to the Horizons Church Podcast.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Sir.
Good morning, Josiah.
To you who are listening, good morning or good afternoon or good evening or good night or whatever.
Yeah, warm greetings one way or the other.
Wherever you are. Yeah.
Kyrie, that's right. Kyrie. Yes. I remember the first podcast where we introduced that.
Kyrie.
I like that. Right. I like it a lot.
There we are. How are things going?
Things are going pretty well. Little to nothing to complain about. Would be foolish if I tried.
Well,
you know. I could. I mean, I could.
The people of God frequently figure that out in scripture. They're like, Lord, we want quail instead of bread. He's like, well, you really want that? I'll give you what you want, but you're going to live probably regret it.
I feel like they underrated bread.
They did underrate bread. Have you ever gone a long time without bread?
No.
Woof.
No, I haven't.
You need the carbs.
Because I don't underrate it.
Yeah, that's right. You love the bread.
I do. I regularly get
the bread.
Always have. Bakery bread from Kroger?
Yeah.
Goodness sakes. I don't even say goodness sakes. That's what it's bringing out of me. I make like...
It brings quaint colloquial phrases out of Ethan.
I swear, like every single day in some way, I'm going to enjoy it. Whether I'm like toasting bread for a sandwich or I'm having toast with my eggs. It's happening somewhere, somehow. It's delightful.
That is. I too am a fond admirer of bread.
Yeah.
Morgan frequently makes homemade bread with... our dinner, because you get the crunchy crust on the outside, but then you get the fluffy, hot, fresh bread, and
that naan bread.
Whew. Oh yeah, the naan.
Oh, one of my favorite. Yeah. One of my favorite iterations of bread.
Yeah,
if I can be so bold.
Naan bread is there's naan better.
I'm gonna affirm that.
My latent dad jokes. They have to find a vent every once in a while. So that's what bread brings out of me.
Mm.
They bring colloquial folk sayings out of you and latent dad jokes out of me.
Here for it. Know.
But yeah, so all is going well with you then.
Yeah. Not that a single soul is curious about what coffee I'm drinking today, but they'll...
Oh, but this is... At this point, I think it's like Pavlov's dog, but different. It's like the podcast jingle starts and we're like, oh, coffee.
Yeah. Well, be curious no longer because I'm probably having the final cup of Killer Queen before my favorite arrives very soon, off-grid.
Ah, off-grid.
Yeah.
Yes. That's delightful. I'm still on the milk and honey blend myself. Still in the promised land.
I recently like tweaked my queue of the upcoming shipments. Very fun to do that. Not going to lie.
I've
got some very fun blends to look forward to on the horizon.
Yes, I actually think I'm going to go back to the last blend I had before the milk and honey, which was my favorite. And now, again, the name escapes me.
Oh, no.
Because it is my favorite. It's the one that I went to go rate and discovered, I previously rated it. Which tells me how much, because I have not historically been about rating every single one of them.
Right.
But the ones I have,
the count,
are the ones that I love. And I went back and I already rated that one. So there we go.
That is an excellent feeling.
It's delightful. It's delightful. You know what's not a delightful feeling?
Oh, tell me what's not.
When you come across a passage in the Bible and you're like, oh, like that.
You know?
I don't know if anyone else, I don't know if that's anyone's experience, but.
I think I've probably had that experience once or twice.
You're like, oof.
If I'm being really, really painfully honest, I've had those moments.
For whatever reason, you know? Yeah.
Could be a lack of understanding. I mean, could be.
Yeah, it could be that. Or
poor,
could be the major conviction. The major conviction.
Yeah, it could be that. Capital M. Capital M, capital C.
Major conviction trademark.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Yeah, actually, on that very note, a while back, someone made a remark in my presence about problem passages.
Interesting.
In the Bible is what they were talking about.
Don't make that remark.
Yeah, well, because by problem passages, they meant passages that they had deemed problematic.
Okay.
You know, now, my hijinks with that phrase is that it smuggles in the rather insidious idea that there even are problem passages in the Bible.
Okay.
You know, that's...
Yeah, that's... Yeah. I feel like the way that is being handled is a little tricky. Because I feel like, possibly if I'm being generous, I think I probably understand where they're coming from.
Right.
I think anyone, no matter how devout, could probably point to things and think, I don't love that.
Yeah.
Kind of wish that was a little bit different.
Right.
And that could be for a number of reasons, a number of motivations. It could be personal sin. Could be, who knows? I don't. It's never been me, obviously.
Ethan has attained sinless perfection.
But I think if we're splitting hairs for the sake of like some precise discourse here, let's, you know, defining our terms and our space and our discussion. I think my chief problems, if I'm lucky, this is a bold statement. Let's see if I'm right. I think usually, I should say usually, my quote-unquote issues, my problems, are going to more likely be how something's interpreted or how something is used, or if I have a poor understanding of what it's trying to communicate. Because you have like scores of scholars. We pretty much all read the same text. There might be some exceptions, but we pretty much do. And then we have like these fiercely varied views. So like, that's complicated.
Yeah.
That maybe something, maybe you've had a terrible teacher and you're like, that passage now like evokes something like totally unbiblical and unchristlike, and it's far afield of what it intends to actually communicate. Mm-hmm. And suddenly that's like, oh, that's problematic. That case, it's the teaching. It's the teaching that's problematic.
Right.
So I've said nothing. I've spent all this time and I've said nothing.
Well, no, yeah, you've gotten to something that I would want to qualify here, you know, which is that our want here. We, you know, brief qualifiers, the kings of qualification. That's our titles. We wear crowns. There are no jewels on them. They just say kings of qualification.
Yeah, yeah.
Because if you define the problematic aspect of problem passages as something akin to difficult to understand, or I've misunderstood, or I think this has been mistaught, misrepresented, misapplied. Yeah, that happens. You know, no harm, no foul, and no kidding for that matter, because we are fond of bringing up that passage in 2 Peter where the aforementioned St. Peter says there are things in Paul's letters that, you know, will make you scratch your head and go, huh? You know, difficult absolutely. To understand that the ignorant and unstable twist to their own destruction. So, yeah, if that's all you mean by problem passage, then yeah, we're on the same page. Most of the time, at least in my experience, when people use the term problem passage, though, they're using it to refer to a passage of scripture that, you know, if we're going to put the matter bluntly, they would just as soon snip out with a pair of canonical scissors. Like, their issue is not like, I'm trying to properly understand. They're just like, no, I just want to cut that out. Yeah, I just don't even want that in there.
There are those that have tried.
Yes. Thomas Jefferson, literally, he's like, canonical scissors? How about metal scissors? but that's not just, you know, us or, you know, Thomas Jefferson, you know, like Martin Luther. All right.
Mm-hmm.
As august a man as Martin Luther once quipped that he thought the book of James was an epistle of straw. And yeah, just so we're clear, he didn't mean that as a compliment.
Oh,
right?
Man. Lucas is rolling.
Yeah, Lucas would. He would probably think, I'd get into a fight with Martin Luther and win.
Yeah,
you know,
right now.
If Martin Luther was a kangaroo, I would fight him and win. And that's, if you want to know what that means, any of you listening, just go ask Lucas sometime.
Yeah.
Do you think you could beat a kangaroo in a fight? That's all that needs to be said.
Absolutely.
But anyway, back to Martin Luther. He legitimately thought James ought to be kicked out of the canon of scripture because he thought that James' teaching on justification was problematic when compared with Paul's. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a huge.
Yeah.
I was curious what the claim was, or like what his reason was. Not what I expected.
Yeah.
This is Martin Luther himself.
Yeah.
That's pretty big.
Yeah. Yeah. Pretty big deal. And more specifically, he was all about his defining idea and teaching was justification by faith alone.
So he's like, this doesn't measure up.
So when he reads James and he's like, oh, we're justified not by faith alone, but also by work. Show me, you know, tell me you have faith and, you know, you say, show me your faith. I'll show you my works. You know, he has that old discussion. Luther did not like that.
I see.
Now, alas, the problem was not with James. It was with Luther.
I deduced that was probably the case.
And thankfully, Luther did eventually come around on his view of James, by the way. Just want to, you know, bring that full circle.
I would really like to hear his, like, well, actually, I've reconsidered statements. Just like it's just, it would be very interesting to see, like, when someone holds, someone, A, that influential, B, has such really ironclad convictions, then comes around to something and reconsiders. That's also huge. I think, like, on one side, it's a little bit reassuring to think even someone like Martin Luther could have these moments where he's like, oh, I don't really like that. It's like, oh, okay, maybe I feel less bad about myself if I've ever had those moments. But even more so, someone in that position coming around to it is like even further inspiring. It's like, okay, that's encouraging. I find that very encouraging.
Right, exactly. I agree. And so all God's people said, phew, sweat off our brows, and thankfully that wasn't a problem. So, but yeah, same way, as the problem didn't reside in James, but in Luther. If we have that same dynamic happening, which again, to your point, exactly, if Luther had that, the likelihood is we're going to experience that at some point. I mean, so. Luther was as committed as anyone to submitting, same thing, to scripture alone, right? That was a major one of his teachings. And so if he deals with that, likelihood is we will. But likewise, the problem resides in us, not in our Bibles, if we have problem passages, you know? The problem isn't the passage. The problem is, I am afraid to say, us. You know, it's you and I, as it were. And to be clear for a moment, we all, as the Westminster divines would say, sin in sundry and diverse ways. So, like, there's a kind of person who would read those tricky parts in Paul about sexual immorality. And they might read that and begin to think that Paul's problematic on those points, and they'd rather those parts of the epistles weren't actually in Scripture. But I bring up this whole dynamic to say, if we're tempted to shake our heads at that kind of biblical gerrymandering, which is not uncommon, we also need to make sure, here's the pastoral edge to this, is that we're not functionally doing the same thing with the parts of the Bible that are problematic to us in a different way. And what I mean by that is, we may affirm scriptural inerrancy and infallibility with our lips. It's possible our hearts might be in an entirely different solar system. And of course, you know, if you think I speak in a mystery, I will tell you what the mystery is. And that is that those of the more orthodox stripe can just as plainly ignore and get frustrated or turned around on, say, Christ's commands to love our enemies, or bless those who curse us, or pray for those who say nasty things about us on Twitter or X or whatever we're choosing to call it these days. Anywhere I read a book now, if they quote Twitter, they're like, Twitter, or they'll say X, formerly known as Twitter.
I
think that's just the name of the company now. It should, Elon Musk should rebrand X, formerly known as Twitter. That should be the name.
With parentheses. You know,
yes, parentheses, of course, trademark. And so I'm bringing all that up to say the point of this all too brief episode is simple and the same all the way down. And that is, the main thrust is that if we're going to follow Christ, we really have to determine a priori to have no problem passages in Scripture. Like, just to settle that, like, that when something comes up in our hearts and we're like, ugh, I don't know about that, to just settle aforetime that we're not going to have problem passages. Because ultimately, if we affirm that God has spoken in Scripture and then we have a problem with Scripture, logically, that means you have a problem with God. And of course, that's problematic. To come back to that, you know. So when a certain set of verses maybe starts pricking at us and we start thinking to ourselves, you know, it would be really convenient if that particular bit of the Bible didn't exist. That's actually probably the exact point at which we most need sanctified by the Spirit, more likely than not.
Yeah. I have two questions. I don't know how neatly I'm going to get through them.
Ask away.
Some of them are organically forming. So, like, if we are determined to come to Scripture and not pick a fight with the verses, is it fair to say, or maybe is it like a good understanding to say that we should instead come to this if we have those moments where something sort of like triggers something deep in our hearts, to instead not come with like a bone to pick, but with curiosity, or like more of like an open desire to learn? Because if there's something like that, there's a very good chance that, like, A, there's something wrong with me and my understanding. Maybe that is incomplete. Maybe I need to be more like faithfully discipled in understanding what this actually means. That's tricky.
Right. Yes.
I mean, that's humbling.
Yes. Yes.
But I really do like that idea a lot of like coming to the table with a commitment ahead of time, with a different attitude about how I'm going to approach this.
Right.
So it's like, if something just pops up out of nowhere, I already have a plan in place as to how I'm going to handle this, or the attitude I'm going to have.
Right. Yes. I agree with that wholeheartedly. And to take another example of that, it's like, if you come across, we did an episode on this a while back, on the apparent contradictions in Scripture. If you come knowing and believing a priori, okay, Scripture is not going to actually contradict itself. It may look like it does at first, but if we pray, discern, read our way through it, ask questions, or we're curious about it, we're going to find a way that tension actually resolves into a paradox that fits into the Christian faith.
Right.
And you're actually going to end up being the richer for that.
Yeah.
That's going to be a point of growth and deepening for you.
Yeah.
If you're willing to approach it like that.
I really like that example too, because I think there are definitely times where any of us have been like, wait, how do I square this with what I believe this, you know, other verse to be communicating, or this other teaching to illustrate? And it's like, well, fortunately, there are centuries of people who have come to the table with those same questions.
Yes.
But I think it's a great example. My other question is this, and it's more of like a it's something that came to mind when you suggested, like, oh, that maybe actually means we have a problem with God. Mm-hmm. That's like some alarm bells are going off. It's a big thing.
Isn't that
feels,
comforting?
It feels kind of scary to me, actually. I'm like, yeah, I don't think I considered that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if this is a caveat. I don't know if this is a little bit far afield of our discussion, but I'm curious. I'm just going to throw it out here.
Yeah.
I feel like there are times where I could point to scripture and say, that bothers me a little bit. Like that leaves me with some discontented restlessness, much like we have discussed.
Yes.
Sometimes I don't like that the rain falls on the just and the unjust alike.
Yeah, that's
that's just an example. I actually love that verse. I think it's incredibly profound. It's one of my favorite, but I thought it was a good example. But, you know, maybe in that case, in that moment, my narrow scope of the world leaves me just a bit unhappy with the course that God has chosen, the way he chooses to act within the world. I don't often find myself feeling guilty for my frustration. Rather, I feel like many before me who have stood in a moment of very broken and frustrated humanness that we see peppered all throughout scripture.
Right.
Like,
right.
There are psalms that are so directly accusatory,
yes.
They make me uncomfortable to read. And like, they're in our canon.
Yes.
They're in our...
The word of God.
Yeah. And like, God didn't seem to smite the author for pretty much directly expressing that turmoil.
Yes.
I'm like, what do I do with, like, at what point, I guess, A, what do I do with that?
Yeah.
And B, at what point am I, like, picking a bone with God for something that is in scripture versus I'm coming to the table with my own, like, broken frustration.
Yes.
Coming to, like, lay my grievances before him.
Yes. Great, great point and caveat, because to that exact point, it's interesting that in the book of Job is another example.
Yeah.
Job says some pretty
hard
things.
Absolutely.
That, you know, the more straight-laced among us can, like, ooh, that makes me squirm a little bit.
Yeah.
And yet, of course, when God comes to him out of the whirlwind, and he does kind of, he's like, where were you when I laid the foundation of the world? And all these things. And Job says, you know, I spoke of things I didn't know. But all of that happens, and at the end of the book, when God speaks to Job's friends, he says, you ought to have spoken of me rightly like Job did.
Whoa,
so
as
in,
what?
Like, he
That's
doesn't,
wild.
In all these things, Job didn't like sin with his lips.
Yeah.
So I think the difference is, again, there's this dynamic of like the Beatitudes, like blessed are the pure in heart, where I think part of it is, what are you doing with that frustration?
That's a very good point.
If you're like the psalmist, and you're like, darkness is my only friend, you've abandoned me, you know, like, you don't care, you know, where are you? Taking that and bringing it before God, that is a gesture of faith, right? To be willing to lay that before God. Does that make sense?
What a thought, yeah.
That's a gesture of faith, as opposed to, well, I don't like that, and I'm walking away now. Like, I'm just going to kind of, you know, put this down and not, I'm going to settle into the quagmire, you know, and not bring it to God in prayer.
Oh, that's a good point.
I think that's the big, you know, we could nuance the ever-living daylights out of that and do a whole other set of episodes on that. But I think that's the big difference, is this willingness to come to God and still trust. I don't get this and it's frustrating.
Yeah.
But I'm going to bring it to you. And, well, like the prophet Habakkuk, that's another good example. I always come back to him where he's like, I'm going to take my stand on the watchtower and see what you answer me. And then, of course, God does, but he has the same experience. He's like, oh, I saw the Holy One and my bones turned to rot and... Now, it's always interesting to me. Now we're getting into almost a podcast episode on theodicy. But it's that in those moments, they bring these frustrations, these doubts, complaints to God. And at the end of it, it's not as if they say, well, now I understand everything. But they will say things like Job did, or Habakkuk. At the end of Habakkuk 3, he says, now I know, though the fig tree does not blossom, though the cattle are not in the field, though basically everything fall apart, yet I will praise you.
Yeah.
You who set my feet on the high places.
Yeah.
And I don't think you get to that place until you're willing to kind of wrestle like Jacob did with God in prayer. Like, that's how you do that.
Mm.
And say, basically, I'm not letting you go till you bless me, you know?
Yeah.
Because I have a problem. There's like something going on in me that needs to be wounded so that it can be healed, almost, if, you know, like the way God struck Jacob but blessed him. So, and all that is to say is, I think almost on that same point, part of the problem is in those moments, it's not that we don't understand certain parts of scripture. Back to your original point. Like, there are times like, I just don't understand that. Not on a philosophical or moral, but like a, I just don't know what that verse means.
Right.
Like, what do the whirling wheels in Ezekiel mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't, what does that mean? I don't know. Jonathan Edwards thought it meant the providence of God, you know, the all-seeing eyes that, you know, turn every which way. We really, I think, though, run into these spiritual problems when, again, it's not that we don't understand certain parts of Scripture. It's that we do understand. And, you know, to allude to something Steve says, behold, it ticketh us off, you know. There's nothing wrong with coming up against difficult-to-grasp parts of the Bible.
Yeah.
But if we outright reject the parts we do grasp, that's a problem. And I think we will do that if we don't have an a priori conviction that there are no problem passages in the Bible. It's that there's something going on in us and we need to bring that to the Lord and wrestle through that in prayer. We really are in a great spot in church history because we've had 2,000 years of theologians and pastors and teachers who have wrestled through the entire canon now.
Exactly.
There's all kinds of wisdom out there on these things. So anyway, there you have it. That's our problem passage primer.
Yeah.
Primer, I should say. Primer. I
guess, really?
Technically, it's primer when you're... Primer is the, like, pre-paint. Primer is the, you know, the introductory text or whatever.
To, I've never known that.
Yeah.
Oh, my... This kind of... this rattles me.
I have a problem with... I have a primer problem. A primer problem.
Oh.
Well, at any rate there, thank you as always for listening. If you have any questions on this or any other topic, as always, you can feel free to email us at podcast@horizonschurch.net. And if you found this helpful, maybe if it resolved some problems for you, you can leave us an honest 5-star review on that Apple Podcast platform. And that would be great. We would not have a problem with that.
Not a bit.
Not one bit.
Mm-mm.
But whether you do or not, thank you as always for listening, and we'll catch you next time.